Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase William D-Mace, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Again, coming up at 2 o'clock today, the mayor and the Titans will have a press conference talking about the new stadium. Stillman & Company will have full coverage of that. Also being told that Mayor John Cooper is tentatively scheduled to join Stillman & Company tomorrow around 2:15. So looking forward to that as things moving with the stadium. But right now, let's get to our NFL zingers.
Gentlemen, another week of zingers. And like Chase said, I am excited about this week. And hopefully my last zinger we can get to, but I'll leave that up to you guys for the conversation. But let's lead off with New York. We got the G-Men that D-Mace has been talking a lot about this last
G-Men.
Week. And we got the Jets. So, who do we like more? Do we like the Jets more or the Giants? Personally, I like the Giants. They're keeping games close, and they're winning them in the fourth quarter. Saquon's back officially, and Daniel Jones has been playing very well under Brian Daboll. So whatever Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh have been doing this year has been something special too. And we saw the stat earlier today that we had in our group text that Corey Davis is one of the biggest X factors on their team, with 89.5% of his catches being for a first down or a touchdown. Your thoughts, fellas?
Hang on, Derek. You can take your victory lap in just a second. I was a little angry at Saquon Barkley yesterday.
Why was that?
Because he went down at the one, and had he scored, I would have won some money.
But he probably wasn't the only one.
But he did the right thing, because that was the right move. You make them use the timeouts and kill the clock, but, you know, whatever. Brian Daboll, to me, is coach of the year right now.
He's doing a phenomenal job.
He is doing awesome. Wink Martindale's defense, I really like. And, look, I'm a Cowboys fan, and if Sean Henry's listening to this, then, you know, I'm sure he's going to use it against me. But I do like what the Giants are doing. That's a good team. When they played the Titans and they beat the Titans, I don't know if they were a good team yet or believe that they were a good team, and now they do.
Yeah, I think that's why it's another cautionary tale of all the people, and I can remember many saying before the first game, you can't lose to the Giants. This is you've got to beat the Giants.
I was one of them.
There's no way you could – I mean, you know what I mean? You just don't know. You don't know in this league. That's the most compelling thing about the NFL is games like that, teams like that, stories like that. And these are two of the best, the Jets and the Giants. Like we said last hour, you will not find a preseason ranking where those two not only are predicted not to make the playoffs, but in the bottom five of the league. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to go anywhere. I'm going to say the Jets, though, are the team that I think might have some staying power if they can get Zach Wilson to a next level. They're really, really young. They're ahead of schedule right now. But if they can keep progressing here, I think the defense is legit. Whereas the Giants, I think they're going to have some very tough games coming up. And so I want to see if they can maintain it. But they're both just outstanding stories.
Gee, man. That's all you need to say. Both of these teams, whether, you know, it's the Jets or the Giants, both of them have done a remarkable job at, you know, coming out and playing their brand of football. Tough defense and running the football. Obviously, the Giants are led by Saquon Barkley and the Jets are led by Breece Hall. But I would give the nudge to the Giants at this point, because I believe they know exactly what they have at quarterback, and they're not trying to hide it, and they're just playing around him. I think the Jets, even though their defense is good, it reminds you of the 49ers defense. Why? Because their head coach come from San Francisco. But the Giants, in regards to points, the Giants are a better team than the Jets as far as giving up points. The Giants only give up 18 points. Jets give up 21 points. But both of them have good records right now. But because the Jets are still trying to run their offense through their quarterback, because they still got to figure out if is he the guy, I think they're more prone to mess it up as the season go. Now, their defense is good. I mean, those corners are some of the best corners in the NFL, led by Sauce Gardner. But the Giants know exactly what they have in their quarterback. They're not going to allow. They're not going to put the game on him. They're telling him, just manage the game. Our defense will take care of one side of the ball, and Saquon will take care of the offense. Don't worry about it.
Giants at Jags next week.
Yeah.
Good one.
And that's going to be huge. So we'll see how that goes over. But so, former Titan Marcus Mariota.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about him for a second. Is he a viable starter once again? I mean, he's got some great flashes with the Falcons, and you know, he doesn't look half bad down there, but, you know, in my opinion, when I think of him, I think of a guy like Cooper Rush, too, in the same category. But, you know, they did have a good win over the 49ers yesterday. I know that the Niners were a little bit hampered with some injuries. But what do you guys think about him being a starter again? You may be pretty set on this, but what do you guys think?
I'll start it by saying this is a question we were asking over the summer. When he signed with the Falcons, was he just a placeholder? Would he make it through the entire year as a starter? Now, we know with Marcus, availability is big. So he is the turned ankle, the pulled groin away from being the same old, same old. But yesterday was the perfect Marcus Mariota game. He didn't have to throw it very much. They ran the ball well, even without Cordarrelle Patterson. When they threw it, the guys were open. He made timely runs in a perfect way. He clearly, Arthur Smith, has exactly the knowledge of what Marcus does well. It's a good fit. It now really does look like he will hold the starter's job. The question is, can he play well enough to earn the starter's job for next year?
Right.
Or does he become? Was it a one-year deal? Like, is he a free agent at the end of this season? Like, he's playing for another for a starting job in the future. Mm-hmm. I think he's in the discussion now.
I think he might. Yeah, I think he's.
I feel like he just signed a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, Marcus is.
There's an option.
Yeah.
There's a $12 million option for the second year.
I'll sign him to $12 million.
Club option? Or is
it
a mutual option? Because if he can opt out and become a free agent, he may get himself a pay raise. I don't know.
Yeah, but it seems like.
We're not there yet. Like, we're not even halfway through the season yet.
But Marcus is having a good season. He's not having a great season, not having a bad season. They're 3-3 right now. He does just enough to win you ball games. He's not mistake prone, like constantly mistake prone. He works within the confines of that offense. And the head coach, Arthur Smith, understands that and knows it. He knows exactly what he has in his quarterback.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised, because I think they're not going to finish high enough to get a top 10 pick. I think they're going to be better than that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just load up around him.
And a lot of people had them dead last.
Exactly.
Dead last in the NFL before the season. And they're in every game. They're 3-3, but they've been in every game against some good teams. At Rams, loss. At Bucks, right there, both games. Yeah. Blew the lead in the first week against the Saints. So, you know, they have a plus differential. They're way better than people thought.
Yeah, and look, I think Arthur Smith, when Arthur Smith was his offensive coordinator the first time, he was a rookie OC. Marcus had zero confidence. He knew he had, even though there wasn't a quarterback controversy, you knew you had traded for Tannehill and he was right there. I think now Arthur is obviously a head coach, but a better play caller, knows Marcus very well, and that's why that marriage made so much sense. So according to SpotRack, it's a two-year deal with an out after this year. They would have to. The cap hit would go from $4.25 million to $14.5 million next year.
Oh, that's nothing.
Which is inexpensive for a starter.
Exactly. That's why I said, don't be surprised if they continue to have him on the team, but then build around him. Well, because you can build around him because he doesn't cost as much.
And you can develop Desmond Ridder while you're at it.
Exactly.
And that's who they drafted. So. Go ahead.
All right, so this rookie and another rookie. And look, I have the big say in this. After the 100 Miles of Hate win this weekend, I got to talk about him, guys, because this guy and the rookie that is myself, we know each other. And I have to give him a shout-out for how he's been playing. So,
when's he coming on the show?
I don't know. But
you want to drop names that you know him and everything. Like, come on.
But look, I really think Bailey Zappe deserves a lot of credit right now. I think he's really done well with these Patriots. I mean, just look at this, and I want to share this with you guys. So he had one offer prior to even being thought about as a college quarterback, and it was Houston Baptist was the school that was the loan offer to him. He makes the most of that opportunity. 2020 was a weird year, played four games, transfers to Western Kentucky with the likes of Zach Kittley, who coached Patrick Mahomes and previous other NFL quarterbacks as well. And I think he's someone that is going to make his mark, and he's slowly but surely doing it. I know it's a rookie season for him. He's only played a few games, but everyone thought that I know around him never thought that he would get a chance like this. And you just never know, obviously. He had 62 touchdowns last year as a Hilltopper, and he set a new record in passing yards with 5,967. So fifth round pick. 62 touchdowns last year. He's throwing dimes right now.
Well, whenever you get an opportunity as a rookie quarterback to be coached by Bill Belichick, I mean, there's no better. I mean, other than maybe Andy Reid and some other guys, just a handful of guys. But you have to relish in that position. You have to – it's almost like – you know, you get drafted by the Patriots, and it's like, man, I get an opportunity to develop, develop as a quarterback in this system. Because this system will help you slowly become an NFL quarterback.
I feel like I've seen this movie before. Late late round draft pick at quarterback comes in for the injured starter.
Not 199, but he's certainly making a mark.
Never gives the job back. Look, I'm not going that far.
And do they stick with him? It's a fair question.
Yeah, I do think there is a question of when Mac is ready, if Zappe continues to play the way that he is, do you make the change? Your offense is working right now.
And Mac was working out with him yesterday on the field prior to the game, and he was questionable. So that's something fair to think about, I think.
I don't know. Right. It's interesting.
It's going to be a cool big story, topic though. Up there. The Patriots find a way to be relevant somehow.
Always.
They're tough.
It's not finding a way. It's the head coach.
He knows what he's doing.
Always they find a way. There is no doubt about that. Coming up next, are you done? Is that it? Okay. Good job. Very good job.
Nice.
Coming up next.
Nice job, Rook. Nice job, Rook.
We will discuss the new stadium and what we're expecting to hear at 2 o'clock, some of the things that we want to see out of the new stadium. Obviously, this is going to be a big topic of conversation for the rest of the week here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company coming up at 2 o'clock. They will have the press conference, the mayor, the Titans, announcing the new stadium. We finally have, or I think we're going to have, some details on that. Looking like $2.2 billion is what this bad boy is going to cost.
Do we think they can keep it at 2.2?
Well, that's a good question. I would say probably not.
I think 2.2 would probably be 3.2.
See, and well, that's.
I don't know if it's that much.
Well, okay. Maybe 2.8. All right, let's say it's 2.8.
Okay. We're going
to make a little wager?
Yeah, we can make a little wager on that.
You're saying is not crazy, right? And I remember when Jerry, this is the extreme, when Jerry did Jerry's World, he had all kinds of overruns, but he just wrote the check.
Yeah, he paid for it.
So who pays for the overruns if it's not 2.2? 2.2 seems a little light. To me, to do this right.
Seems like everything's going up, 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 and up.
Well, here's the other thing. They're calling it a domed stadium. So how it's kind of being perceived is it's not retractable roof.
Correct.
Because the retractable roof is going to cost more if you do it that way. But I do wonder if you get to that point where it's like, well, you probably should just do the retractable roof.
That's why I say, there you go. You say 2.2.
Yeah.
People start getting there.
Because also, what's going to cost more, artificial turf or grass? Now you got to resaw it all the time. Yeah, so probably at the end of the day.
The maintenance on grass would probably be a little bit more. Overall.
I would assume it's got to be turf.
Yeah.
No?
That would be
less
expensive?
That would be less expensive?
No, I'm just saying, if you're going to build a dome stadium, it's got to be turf.
Oh, yeah, it would be turf. So. But if you have a retractable.
Unless you have the rollout field. Like
yeah, like Houston
Vegas
did.
Houston
did have a rollout field.
Oh, did they do?
Yeah. I don't know if they still have it, but when I was there briefly, what they would do is, because they all laid on tracks, the grass were on tracks, they would roll it out.
Yeah, because like Arizona
sit in the park
has
a lot.
That too.
Yeah, you would see it in the park
Arizona
a lot.
Arizona and Vegas, I believe, have that. Now, Vegas actually has both. Because the Raiders play on grass and UNLV plays on turf.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have both, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
So they so we're here for the mayor at 2 o'clock.
But what are the costs of a normal, like, let's take a look at the last five or six stadiums built in the NFL and what they cost. These are all important questions.
Well, the LA owner paid for that himself, right? Majority of it.
I think he got some help. But like, this is what the Teron's article on ESPN has. The Titans ownership has reportedly agreed to put up $800 million to help fund the project. The stadium will also be funded by a $500 million investment from the state. Other funding includes a 1% tax on local hotel room rentals in Davidson County, along with sales taxes collected within the new stadium. And a generous donation by former Titans wide receiver Derek Mason.
Whoa.
That damn sure ain't going to happen.
That's a scoop from Teron.
Teron, I don't know who you got that from.
I'm kidding. No, I know. I just wanted to see your reaction.
Well,
that's how they're paying for this.
We should give a shout out to Nate Rao, who had the story this morning on it.
Okay, SoFi was $5.5
billion. $5.5
billion. Yeah. But the Rams and the Chargers play in it.
Okay.
So it's 70,000, but it expands to 100,000.
Yeah, and I think this one may seat a little less than Nissan is what is. Now, we may learn more about that today, but what people have speculated. Here's my thing, though.
So, but $5 billion. Let's just say it's $5 billion. That's a lot more than $2.2 billion.
Jerry's World cost $1.3 billion, and that was. What, 15 years ago? Mm-hmm. 2006 is when it was designed, and it got done in 2009. So it was $1.3 billion, and you've seen it's a palace. Obviously, inflation.
Yes.
Things have changed quite a bit.
The cost of construction and things like that is
what I don't want, because they're kind of in this boat because they realized there's 17 years left on the lease with Nissan Stadium, and they realize that it would cost about $1.8 billion to do everything they need to do to keep it up for 17 years. So it makes total sense. It's like going to the repair shop for your car. Hey, it's going to cost you $18,000 to fix this car. You can go buy a new one for $22,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go buy a new one.
Go buy the new one. Mm-hmm. That would be more... a better deal for you. So I get why they're doing it. What I don't want is to what happened in 95 when they agreed to do this. They built it on the cheap. So that's kind of why they're in this boat, is they built a cheap stadium to begin with.
Yes.
Don't do it again.
Oh, they're not going to do it again. It's not going to happen again.
Here's one other note. Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, supposedly, according to Wikipedia, which we know is completely reliable, $1.9 billion. So... That's interesting. Why the Angeles one would be so much more than this one. So I'm just curious about $2.2 billion.
If they built a stadium like Allegiant, I think everybody would be cool with that.
But that would have to be more than $2.2 billion, though. That stadium is nice.
It is, but he just said
it. So how'd they get it done for $1.9 billion?
But that was they broke ground in 2017. Prices were a lot different.
Yeah.
People were making a lot of money.
But what I'm saying is, I would think 2.2 could, if that's really what it costs in 2017, 2.2 could probably do that.
Okay. Go back to something you said, though, Chase. It's an interesting question because and it's different in Tampa because the weather, you know, you can get a Super Bowl with an open air stadium, which we know that if you want a Super Bowl here, you got to have a roof. But would it surprise people to know that Raymond James Stadium is basically the same age as our stadium, Nissan Stadium?
But they've redone it.
They've invested in it.
Uh-huh.
The Titans ownership, what did we just say about Stan Kroenke, right? He wrote a lot of the money for it. The Titans, it's an old family-owned franchise.
They don't have Kroenke's
They
money.
Don't have that kind of cash to just drop down. So the question is going to be, how will they do the revenue? How will they come up with the revenue for their part of the pie here? Because the more they invest, the better the product is going to be, for sure. But I think a lot of people would argue that they have not done their own investing, the Adams family, in the facilities.
I thought there was a number in there that I know you're probably talking more so about the renovations and everything else.
What have the Titans really done to upkeep the stadium? I mean, it was built on a low cost to begin with,
and supposedly
they haven't done much to keep it up.
The city owes them money for things, and it just like they haven't done the things that they need to do to keep it up.
From the start. I mean, it's all a lesson to be learned here.
It was also built on the cheap.
Yes.
I mean, what did it cost?
And the city had
like
to...
200... Was it?
It was less than 300
million. 290 million.
Yeah.
Which would, in 2021 dollars, according to Wikipedia, would be 472 million.
Still was cheap.
It was basic. It was a basic thing.
Great. It was great.
It got the team. It got the team.
Exactly.
You want a football team? Yeah. All right. Build a stadium.
They had to give Bud Adams the sweetheart deal to get him to move the team here.
They could play at Vanderbilt.
And our city was not in the position that it is now. You know, we were trying to find a way to get a team. We had to do what we had to do. But I do think, looking back, the lesson to be learned is, how do you upkeep a stadium? How do you keep a facility tip-top shape? Bridgestone Arena is still – you don't sit there and go, boy, this place is falling apart. What's going on? They've done a great job of taking care of that building. I do think the Titans, looking back, could have done a much better job.
I think you have to be – when you're doing stadiums like that, and I think moving forward, these stadiums that are being done or arenas, it's they are built – with the forethought of, okay, technology is ever changing. Things are ever changing. So we got to build this arena stadium that we can change it without having to, you know, knock anything down or rebuild this or rebuild that. These stadiums that are being built now, you know, if you want to update it, you can update it, and it won't even look like, you know, there's been anything done to the stadium, because everything that you need to have that needs to be upgraded is usually from a technical standpoint, like computers and, you know, Wi-Fi and all this other stuff. The structure of the building is going to always remain the same.
By the way, until they actually have a name for it, I'm going to call it the Nissan Dome at Floyd Reese Field. I think they should consider that.
I like that.
That would be awesome. But, okay, talking about paying it and keeping it up, there are things that you can do with this stadium that you couldn't do with Nissan Stadium that I think will help some of this down the line. We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Want your thoughts as well on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-106.3 The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-106.3 The Game. Will carry the mayor's press conference coming up at 2 o'clock as a part of Stillman & Company, as the city and the Titans reportedly have reached a deal for a new domed $2.2 billion stadium. Get more details on that. We're taking your reaction, 615-737-1025 on that. You know, there's the thing with this, and the cost is going to be up there, but the fact that it's going to be domed allows you to host many more big events that are going to help pay for things than Nissan Stadium. That's why you do it. That's why you pay the costs up front, because you know that you're going to be able to make it back. You know, you're going to be able to get Super Bowls. Even if you get just one Super Bowl, that entire week helps pay for that stadium. Mm-hmm. You get Final Fours. You get college football playoff games, a college football national championship, WrestleMania. I mean, those type things will help. And that's why I think they've ultimately – now, we've been saying this for years. that this is why you need to do it and have either a retractable or an enclosed roof. But now that they have finally gotten to this point where they're seeing it, I feel like that this is all going to work itself out. So do the stadium right. Don't cut corners. Get it right the first time and make sure we have a really, really nice place for the next 30, 40 years.
I agree, but it all comes down to who's investing what and who gets a return on that investment. You're absolutely right that if we do this right, we're going to get a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think we can get Final Fours. We've gone through this for years. Like, we've been begging.
Anything
for this.
That's it's all out coming. There, it's sporting all, wise, we'll get it.
We are. Our city has the perfect layout, the perfect hospitality.
We got hospitality.
Enough hotels
now. We got
the
hotels. More
now.
Hotels.
Not but, necessarily but perfect who, layout in regards to traffic.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And that's the one thing that we probably screwed up years ago is we didn't. We are not
but
further along
else is great.
In the transportation system a way for people to get down here. But that aside. Who gets the return on what investment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, the more the Titans can invest of their own money, the more they should get the return. And the city needs to be able to benefit as well. It needs to be a win-win. And this is where I think there's going to be a lot of very careful discussion before it goes from here, especially with the Metro Council, is how do we assure that the city gets a benefit, the team gets a benefit, and everybody feels good about who gets what going forward here. Because, like we said before, the lesson to be learned, this is a 23-year-old stadium that is not it's not going to make it to its lifespan, sure. The 30-year lease.
No.
It wasn't even close. There were big mistakes made. There was not a lot of vision and not a lot of investment on the front end. And so what lessons can be learned for that, and what's fair?
Look.
And who's asking who to pay for what?
There was a lot of, hey, you want an NFL team? Sure. We don't want to pay for it. Well, we don't want to pay for it. Who's going to pay for it?
Right. And there's nothing wrong. I wouldn't do it over. I mean, I'm glad that we have the team. This is great. But now let's learn from the past. Let's learn from history.
And now there are people in place that went through that were probably on the council at the time that now are in higher positions and they've been in the city. Plus you have people that have moved from out of town that, okay, now you know what it's like to be a big boy city and be a pro city, so you can do things right the first time. But as you just brought up, are we sitting here talking about needing a new arena for the Predators?
No.
Nope.
You know why?
Why? Because it was done right. Because
they did it right. I mean, that place was built thinking that they were probably going to get an NBA team, and yet they've still done it right, and they've done improvements to in and around it. They've done improvements with the ice and how they create the ice. I mean, technology has obviously helped a lot of that come a long way, but they take care of it. The Titans and the city are going to have to do the same thing with this new place. Mm-hmm. And you know, I get it of going from an open-air stadium like they have now to a dome is going to help some of that too, but you know, the seats will hold up more. You're not having to, you know, they're not sitting there getting cooked by the sun 365 days a year. That obviously adds a lot to it, but you're going to have to invest in this thing as you go along to keep it up. And then the question is, okay, well, who's doing that?
Yes.
Who's footing the bill?
How much do the Titans, according to the story, coming up with? The state has $500 million, and the Titans are putting in, what is their investment?
$800 million, and I'm sure that includes the NFL.
So that
800 including what the NFL puts in?
It's
the NFL has their money that they put in, then the Titans have their money.
Because, I think it's a total of $800 million. Yeah.
Because if we're talking $2.2 billion, it's fair that the Titans should invest in their own stadium, right?
It's their stadium.
So where do they get the $800 million? As we said, this is a family-owned team. They're not – I mean, this is their thing. They're not going to write a check for $800 million, so how are they?
You're going to have the hotel tax, which I agree. Like, make the out-of-towners pay for
the But that's not the Titans' investment, right?
No,
the hotel tax.
I'm
talking about what do the Titans put in?
You know what they need to do? I mean, the Titans are going to – the Titans have to put in their money. How much it is, how much of
million.
It – you know, how much is coming from the NFL? How much is coming from the Titans? Is it a total of $800 million? And
according to this, yes.
Okay, it's a total of $800 million. So some is coming from the NFL, some is coming from the Titans, as we understand it now. If we're wrong or sort of don't have all the information. You know, call in, tell us if you know.
Well, and I'm not great at math, but yeah. 800 plus 500 does not equal 2.2.
Yeah, it doesn't. But here's the deal. I tell you how to get that money. Go ahead and make marijuana legal. No, serious. I'm, okay. We laugh about it.
I'm not laughing.
But let's go ahead and go to Colorado and California and see how much money they're making off of legalized cannabis.
Ask Joe Rex read about it.
They're making money off of legalized cannabis. And it helps however they divvy the money. I don't know. I don't live there. I'm not part of politics. But you can't tell me that, for instance, right now, Colorado, 2021, $396 million off of legalized cannabis, adult legalized cannabis. Up until from January to February 2022, they already got $55 million off of legalized cannabis. That was in 1 month.
If you're willing to take the gambling money so easily, exactly. Which everybody does.
You're willing
does,
to take the gambling right. money, you, know, you yeah. take the alcohol right. money, yeah. you take the cigarette money. Why not take the marijuana? I don't get that. What is so – what? Why does that have so many people scared when you know, you got alcohol on every corner?
Right.
You got cigarettes. People smoking by the pound. So what is so scary about marijuana?
It's a worthy discussion.
I think it's a worthy discussion.
Because at the end of the day, what the average person sitting here wants to know is the taxpayers.
How can I not pay for this?
The taxpayers are going to pay for this to some degree. What are the Titans paying? How does this all work?
Well,
right.
But I would rather, like, if I'm going to go, which we're all going to go. Okay, let's just take our jobs aside. All right, we're going to go. And we know the cost of going to an NFL game, even right now, is crazy. But guess what?
At this existing stadium, which is one of the worst in the league.
You're still going to go.
Still going to go.
Okay. So I would rather know that, all right, part of what I'm paying for to go, whether it's buying a beer or buying popcorn or buying the ticket or whatever, that a piece of that is going back into the stadium, which is supposedly that's what's going to happen. That's what they did with Geodis. So a lot of that. You know, it goes back into the kitty to help with the stadium. I'm fine with that because if I'm going to use it, then I should be a part of helping keep it up. Right? That seems like a very fair thing to do. That if I'm going to go to all these events, then some of that can go back into the kitty to help keep it up. I don't think there's anything crazy about that. A lot of cities do that. Now, the one question that I have. That we'll discuss coming up next is there's a little thing that Nissan Stadium has and has had since the beginning that I don't think a lot of stadiums around the league have had. It's called a PSL. What does that mean moving forward for this new place? We'll discuss as the Titans, the city, announcing at 2 o'clock a deal for a new stadium. We'll discuss more. Chase William D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Stillman & Company, live at 6 in Peabody. Coming up in just a few minutes, they will have the press conference and continue the discussion on the Vols in Alabama, plus the new stadium as well. We'll take some of your reaction, 615-737-1025. But I do have the question on currently season ticket holders own a PSL at Nissan Stadium. So what happens there? Are they going to continue selling PSLs at the new place? Do you get to transfer your PSL? Does that investment that you've made for however long just mysteriously go away?
I want to know.
How does that work?
I think that question needs to be asked. I will give you a story from when the Rams left.
When they left St. Louis.
Okay. When they bolted, Stan Kroenke took them to Los Angeles. There was a lawsuit against Stan Kroenke. And they won. The citizens of St. Louis who bought PSLs to build the Rams Stadium in St. Louis, which I don't know I wonder what they do. Do they hold little like conferences? Is it a parking lot? I don't know what they do with the old TWA Dome. Remember that?
Tear down after
the
a
old
while
greatest show on turf
in hopes to get another team.
But in 2019, they got a settlement.
because there was somebody ruled that those PSLs, they deserve to get them back if the team moved. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's a fair question. If you're a PSL owner currently and you've been investing since 1998, you have that seat, what happens to it in the new stadium? Do you get a seat in the new stadium? Automatically?
It's a great question.
Now, PSLs go away? Is there going to be a new set of PSLs? I mean, these are
I just pulled fair up an article that is for the Bills. You know, the Bills are building a new stadium, and they're adding PSLs. Supposedly, 20 of the 32 NFL teams currently have some form of a personal seat license. So I guess it's more common than I thought it was, if 20 of the 32.
But if you're building a new stadium, I think the existing PSL holders shouldn't have to then pay another PSL fee. If you got a PSL, if you already have a PSL right now, then it should transfer over to the next stadium, and you shouldn't have to pay it.
I agree.
And then you sort of, okay, we will sit you somewhere in the same area where your old PSL was. It's not going to be an exact same exact place because the stadium will be different. But at least you can sort of get it in the same proximity.
Is it fair to ask for another round of PSLs comes up?
No, it's not.
Because you know what? Like, this sounds crazy, but legally, you own the seat. That's what a personal seat license means. That's the agreement that you've reached. If enough people go, hey, no, I want to keep. I'm not getting rid of that. If you're going to make me buy another one,
exactly.
Couldn't that hold up?
We're grandfathered in already.
So you got to keep Nissan.
We're grandfathered in already.
Be like Arlington and keep two baseball stadiums just because. Of that.
Here's another question. I was
your seat's still over there.
Hey, my season tickets are in section 103 at Nissan Stadium, and I'm not giving it up. You're not tearing this thing down.
Oh man,
you don't have to blow me up.
Okay,
with it.
Well let's get. You know, I don't know if this is a legal question, an economics question, or what, but if you buy a personal seat license on a 30-year lease, which is what it is, right? It's a 30-year.
So you should be able to recoup.
You got 7 years left. Yeah. If it's a new state, like I don't know, how does that work? It's a strike.
I think you should.
It's
be able
a genius
transfer.
Move by all these people that have charged PSLs over the years
in the
different cities. Because what is it really? It's nothing. It's a nothing thing. You're just buying tickets to the game. The seat itself is just, like you said, it's a seat. It's an actual seat. There's no value in that.
But you can have
the idea
seat.
Was it's you're helping fund the stadium initially. Mm-hmm. I've just felt like the PSL thing has been obsolete for a long time. But now you're going to ask people again to go back in on another round maybe? I don't know. Like shouldn't you pay some out of pocket if you're the Titans? It shouldn't be. You'd want to, right? You're investing in your own new thing where you stand to benefit.
I don't know what a PSL costs now in Nissan Stadium. I have no idea. If anybody can text or call 615,
they're still selling them now, I believe.
Right. They are.
Just think if they had, because ultimately the PSL is an investment, right? You pay for the investment to have a seat.
But now the stadium's
which
closed.
Which has never really made sense.
There's no return on the investment other than you're just buying tickets.
What if like the real investment world was like that? Like, you know, you can buy a PSL to Apple, but then you got to buy the Apple stock. Like, you can buy a PSL just to come into the room, but that don't mean you're getting the stock. But then you got to pay money to get the stock, too. Who would agree to that?
Exactly.
Nobody would agree to that, right? So why would
you?
I know why they do it. I get it. I understand it. But if I already got a PSL
it's a
ticket,
croc,
yeah.
Though.
If I already have a PSL,
because you're paying.
Why am I
to
paying again? Yeah,
yes.
It's like you're paying. I got to pay you to buy a ticket.
Yes,
I'm paying you.
And they
to
build
buy
it. Of course, the one part I understand, it helps fund the stadium. It helps get the deal done initially. But are we going to go? Are we going to do this again? I don't know. Like, because they marketed it. I was on the air at the time. Hey, you can resell this. If it's a great investment because you'll sell it for more than you bought it for. Mm-hmm. But that turned out not to be the case.
Andrew says, my club-level PSLs were $1,500 each 10 years ago.
Is that a one-time fee?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a one-time fee.
But
then you got
to
buy it.
Right, and then if he were to try to sell those PSLs right now, would he get $1,500 for somebody?
That's a good question. He'd probably get more. I mean, I would.
Really?
I would
pay $1,500 for his PSL?
No, I wouldn't. I don't have
it. I'm just saying, are there people?
But the I'm saying the demand for the tickets. Right now, yeah. I mean, if you want to go to Titans games, you don't have to pay $1,500 to get access to seats.
Griffin, real quick, I got about 30 seconds. Weigh in on the PSLs.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the PSLs, first off, if I'm the owner of the Titans, I'm going to give everyone their seat signed by the entire team if you can fit it on there. I think that's a great way to at least show appreciation for the PSL owners. Then I don't know why this team, I don't know, no one will really think about this, but why not involve the community in bonds? You know, well, you can buy bonds if you're interested. Bonds start out at $100, and at least you get the entire state involved to invest in the stadium to that won't be utilized by the dollars that the Titans fall short or the dollars that the state falls short. Make it out of an investment. Like, I think Green Bay Packers have something along that line where, you know, they're owners.
Yeah.
You know, you need to definitely have something creative like that. And involve the entire state. That's all I got. And thank you guys for
Look,
the opportunity.
We all want this to get done. Well. We all have been dying for this day that this gets announced. This is a great day. We just want to make sure. I hope this is a fair deal for everyone and we do this right.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I agree. Wes in Clarksville says they're going to take your old seat and mail it to you.
Hey, they might do that, too.
Thank you for here's your seat.
Yeah, here's your seat.
Well done. Stick around. Stillman & Company coming up next. They will have the press conference and their reaction here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We out.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.